for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, July the 7th, 2018. Carter B. Todd is the speaker of the service teaching on the promises of prosperity.
Okay. God is doing a... He's changing things up. And no matter how much you have of Him, there's always more. Never feel like you're left behind or, you know, somebody's gotten ahead of you. It's not about that. Well, Father, tonight the message that you've given me, you've been working on it for 10 years in me, and it's, to me, like so many puzzle pieces in a box. And I'm going to share the pieces tonight. And I'm asking for grace tonight upon the message, and I'm asking for grace upon every hearer that they can hear what it is that you are saying to us tonight. That's my request. And I thank you for your word that is so precious. I thank you for what you're doing in each life. And Lord, there's so much more, so much more. But we need not get in a hurry, because He will finish what He starts in His own timing and in His own way. And so I just thank you all for being here and really pray that the pieces come together. Before I get to the message, I want to read something, because this is family camp. Usually all the messages I do are geared around family and children, but not this time. But I do want to share something that is so important to families that God showed me not too many years ago. And it was just, changed the way I looked at things. And especially the way I saw my husband. It is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Actually, the whole book of Galatians is, where do you start? Where do you stop? I'm going to start in verse 22, though. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You know, so many scriptures have been misused and abused over the years that have robbed us of the true blessing that is in the scripture. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. This is the husband. If you know about English and the structure of this sentence, the husband is the subject of this sentence, this verse. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. Man, if our men understood that, if the wives understood that, and he, the husband, is the Savior, little s, the word Savior is used, I think I counted it up 23 times, something like that, in the New Testament. And in every other place, it is capitalized, and it is talking about Jesus Christ, our Savior. But in this scripture, it is not capitalized, because it is talking about the husband is the Savior of the body, little b, not the big B, capital B, body of Christ, but the body as in the family, in the home. The husband stands in the priestly position. He fills that place of the priestly, the priest in the home. That's awesome. As the priest in the Old Testament, the priest, they could heal, When the man got healed, Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Or Elijah said, go show yourself to the priest. Why? Because they were the ones who had the power to do that. And they were finding out there was another power, which is Jesus, God. Okay? So I want you young men, even those who aren't married yet, those who are married, I want you to know this. God showed it to me like this. The President of the United States, the day before he takes office, he has absolutely no power. None. No power as president. But the day he takes the oath of the office of the President of the United States, he possesses all the power that belongs to the office of the President of the United States. Same man that yesterday had no power. Now he has all the power that belongs to the president. That's what happens to the husband. When he becomes a husband, he stands in the priestly position in the home as Jesus Christ is in the church. So, wives, you're not feeling well? Go to your husband first. You know, the Bible has an order for things. Then it says, go and call on the elders of the church and be anointed with oil. We need to get back to doing what the Bible says. I don't know how some churches call themselves church when they don't do what the Word says. That was just extra. Okay, the other thing that I want to say about that, you know, I was talking about deception yesterday. And there is great deception. It's already in the world. But it's going to get worse. Much, much worse. And there are lots of areas of deception. But here's one that will hit each of us right between the eyes. And it's in the book of James. In the first chapter, I think. Maybe I don't know. I've got it. It is in the first chapter. Same scripture verse, 22. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Doers of the word, not hearers only. If you hear the word and you don't do the word, but you're only hearing the word and not doing the word, it says deceiving your own self. Not even being deceived by somebody else. Deceiving your own self. If you hear the word and you don't do it, it's a serious thing. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, now these are all the puzzle pieces God's been giving me for like 10 years that are going to come together here in a minute, prayerfully. 1 Timothy chapter 4. All right, we should do it, Timothy. I should have all of these earmarked. Chapter 4, verse 1. I think I can quote it verbatim. But here it is. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, of devils, of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then it goes on with many things. Forbidding to marry. Don't eat red meat, which we hear at the doctor's office. Don't eat red meat, which were created by God and are good, it says, if we receive it with thanksgiving and prayer. And then it says that it is for those who believe and know the truth. Okay, the truth will make you free. This deception, 1 Corinthians. And this, I want to talk about a doctrine of a demon, maybe not just one, but doctrines of demons. And God has shown this to me in a way I've never really seen it before. 2 Corinthians 1, 19 and 20. And it says, that is not what I thought it said. 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 1:20. 19 and 20. All right, I bind that thing in Jesus' name. It says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, this is Paul saying, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. The promises of God are yes and amen, every promise of God. But what I have begun to see and realize is that one of these doctrines of demons is that Satan, the deceiver, has found a way, because of scriptures that have been misused and abused, have robbed us even of those promises that belong to us. And the one that I'm going to talk about tonight, because of the way God worked with me in it and had to change some of my theology. And it has to do with, I almost hate to say the word, because of the deception around this subject that has, it's almost like everybody goes, here we go. No, I'm talking about the promises of prosperity for God's people. You know, there is, when I first came here, I met a pastor, and I had not met him before. He had heard me, evidently, teach. And then we were at a camp together, and he walked up and he said, you're one of those word faith people. And I said, yes, I am. I thought it was a compliment, because I believe the Word of God. I didn't know about all these doctrines out there that had been so twisted and perverted to the point that we won't even go near it. We won't even touch it, because the devil has made it evil, almost evil. So we're going to talk about, I'm going to show you how God showed me all this. That's why I asked for grace. Grace as I give it, grace on the hearer. It first started in 2007. I had a little booklet back there. It's called Fight for Your Life, that I put together after 20 years of learning about healing. That was one of the first things that God did. He healed me. So my passion was for everyone to receive the healing that they needed from God, Jesus, the healer. Now, Jesus tells us in the Word that the traditions of man make the Word of God of no effect. And we have many traditions in our lives that make the Word of God of no effect. I named one. Are any of you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church and be anointed with prayer and pray the prayer of faith. Okay, our tradition in America is we go to church on Sunday, and if we're feeling bad, we call the doctor on Monday. And this is not about knocking doctors. This is not about knocking you if you go to the doctor. I just want to share what God has impressed upon me concerning his promises. Tradition. Our traditions have the ability to make God's word of none effect. Useless. That's what happens. If we need money, we go to the bank. I loved hearing y'all's testimony, because you did do it right. You see, you prayed, and you brought God into the center of your courting, of your relationship, before you committed to one another to marry. That whole thing. In fact, one of the things in 1 Timothy, it says, in the last times they will forbid to marry. Forbidding to marry. And I thought, Lord, I can't even imagine a time that people would be forbidden to marry. God said, look up the word forbid. So I did. You know, one of the definitions is neglect. They will neglect to marry. We are living in those days. They don't marry. They have a fiancé. Which, by the way, the definition of fiancé is not the person you're shacking up with. They changed the definition of fiancé. Whoever you're living with for this 10 years is your fiancé. No, that is not. It is someone that you are betrothed to be married to. They'll say, oh, this is my fiancé. And I'll say, oh, when's the wedding day? Who said anything about a wedding? I'm serious. Those are the days we live in. It is frightening.
Yes, it is.
Frightening. Because you know why? The word says when those things come, we are in the end times. And it says that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, let me show you how God explained that to me. They're not going to give heed to seducing spirits because they've departed from the faith. When they start giving heed to seducing spirits, it will cause them to depart from the faith. And we're seeing that. Many who started out strong in the Lord and in the Word, and it started giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, and they're falling away from the faith. And guess what? If you're a follower of one of those, you're going to follow them right off the cliff. We better know what the Word of God says. We are to follow Jesus.
Amen.
We are not to follow any man, prophet, preacher. I don't care who it is. We are not to follow them. We are to follow Jesus. You know, everything that I've learned, I went here for it. You're going to go lay hands on that person? Well, are they a Christian? Do they even believe? I'm like, okay, Jesus, show me. He prayed. He had compassion. And that was always my motive. I heard about a person. I had compassion. And that led me to go and want to do what the Word says in Mark 16. Those who believe will. You know, years ago, God showed me. I'll never forget it because it was the first time I met Olu. Y'all heard me talk about Olu. He's a bishop from Nigeria. This was an African-American church. He is from Nigeria. I was the only white lady in there, which doesn't ever bother me. I don't see color. In fact, sometimes I think I'm African-American. But because I love their zeal, I love their freedom, I love how they dance. I can't dance worth a flip. Never could. Even before I was saved, I couldn't dance. Now if I'm in a church and the music moves me, my husband goes, don't hurt yourself, honey. Never could dance. I have a brother who got all the dance moves in our family. But anyway, I forgot what's going with that. Someone prompt me. What was I talking about? Thank you. This is God showed me this. So I'm visiting this church, and the pastor says, Sister Carla, and I'm like, what? He said, why don't you come up here and share what God's been talking to you about? Well, I got up there, and I said, well, this is the most recent thing he has shown me. When the Hebrews were in Egypt, in bondage to Egypt, God sent Moses to lead them out of bondage from Egypt to the promised land. The promised land flowing with milk and honey. God gave it to them. He said, I have given you the land. Go and possess it. So what did they do? Well, we know it took them 40 years to go on an 11-day journey because of their unbelief and rebellion and grumbling and complaining. Let that get in our ears. Get there quick. Don't grumble and complain. So they come out of Egypt and they go right up to the promised land and never entered in. Never entered in. And I was thinking on that one day, And the Lord showed me how it's no different than my people today. I sent Jesus to bring you out of darkness into my marvelous light. And y'all come right up to the cross of Calvary and pitched your tent and started having church. He saved us. But he also healed us. He also delivered us. He also cleansed the lepers, raised the dead. All those things. All those things. Spoke to the storm and the wind and waves obeyed him. He came to bring the kingdom of heaven to us, to his people. And we receive salvation, but we have not yet entered into everything that he has brought. Now, Olu was sitting on the front row. He's a little man. And he's sitting there with this look on his face. And then after I sat down, he was the honored guest, you know. And he got up to speak, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I didn't know. I didn't know he was a bishop from Nigeria. Just thought he was another guy in the congregation, you know. But anyway, God connected us that day. He called me to his. I was in the parking lot. My friends go, Sister Carl, Sister Carl. Bishop only wants to see you in the pastor's office. I said, me? What for? I went in there and he goes, is your husband a pastor? I said, well, not yet. And he said, oh, he's studying to be a pastor? I said, no. But it's my desire. No, he's not a pastor. And so we had a very short conversation, and I went home. Michael, remember this. Our kids had moved out of the house, and one morning I heard God say, get that bedroom upstairs ready. One of the empty ones. And I told Mike, you know what I heard today? God told me to get that bedroom up there ready. He said, what for? I said, he didn't tell me what for. Just said, get it ready. I said, but I have a feeling that perhaps when men and women of God come through this area, that there will be a place for them to stay. I always saw myself as the lady who built that little room on her house for the prophet. And I used to bake homemade bread. Every time I would go to a church to hear a guest speaker, I would bring bread. I was the bread lady. But anyway, so got the room ready. And sure enough, he called when he came back to the state. And he had about 10 days that he didn't have anything to do. I said, well, how would you like to come to Jasper? I asked Mike, I said, would you have a problem? You know, I have a feeling he's going to be in our house. And Mike said, a stranger in our house? I said, yeah. I mean, he would be a stranger, but he's a man of God. I mean, you know, God is not going to bring somebody here who would, you know, not be saved. We developed a really great relationship with Olu. I love him. Mother. He calls me mother. They have some really different ways in Nigeria. Okay, anyway. So I had written this book, the little booklet, but it was just on typing paper. It was everything God had taught me about healing. Because if somebody was given a diagnosis of a deadly disease, they didn't have 20 years. They may not have 20 years to learn everything that God wants them to know about healing. So I compounded it all. It's a very simple little book, even deals with salvation. And I started stapling them together. And I probably have given out 5,000 of those things. Mike kept a stack of them at the office. If somebody came in and had a bad diagnosis, he would send them home with one. And when I met Frank Marzullo Sr., who kind of mentored me for a little while, he said to me one day, one of these days you're going to be writing. And I want to tell you right now, don't you ever give your stuff away free. And I was like, why? He said, because what people don't pay for has no value to them. You will find it. You give it to them, you'll find it on the floorboard of their car, up on the dash, the back dash, under the bed at home. And I couldn't even imagine that. But God sticks things in my brain that stay there that he wants me to pay attention to. And so I just took the note Well, then it came time. I needed to have that little book published. I needed to get it in proper print with real publisher staples and a cover, you know, and have it available. And so in 2007, that was the year I'm gonna have that book published. So I called this lady that I had met at a church meeting. She was a school teacher. But she had another job on the side because she didn't make enough money as a teacher. So she edited. She would edit for magazines and edit for, you know, people who had written books. So I thought about her. If I'm going to give my money to somebody, I want it to be to someone in the kingdom. So I called her up and told her what I was going to do. And I said, I was wondering how much you charge for your editing. And she said, I said, I have this little booklet I've written. It's not very big. It's stapled together. I just need to, I'm going to get it published. I thought maybe I should have it edited or looked at before I had it published. And she said, well, I wouldn't charge you anything. Now, ordinary Carla would go, really? You know, thank you. What a blessing. But guess what came out of my mouth? Why would you do that? And I wanted to slap my hand over my face. Shut up, Carl. What's wrong with you? But she was going to do it for free. I said, why would you do that? She said, well, you are going to give it away for free, aren't you? And I remembered Frank Marzullo Sr. And I said, no, actually, I won't be giving it away. And she said, well, freely you have received, freely give. And I said, I know, but here's the deal. I don't have a tent-making job. I'm a housewife. My husband is the one who works. Now, I'm going to take his money and his resources to publish this and then give it away free. And when they're gone, they're gone. I got to take more of his money and publish it again and give it away again. I said, no, but let me tell you. Let me think about it. I said, I really wanted to know what your charge is. Well, she never gave me a charge. I said, I'll get back with you, okay? Never got back with her. At the same time, I had begun to speak on Omega Man Radio, Internet Radio. And the very first time I was on there, he said, Carla, why don't you give out your website information? And I said, I'm embarrassed to tell you I don't have a website. He said, Carla, you've got to get a website. And I said, I know, but I don't know anything about that stuff. I am the most computer illiterate person you will ever meet in your life. And so when I got off the radio, somebody called me that I know that I had met here years ago. And he said, I used to do that for a living. I'll be happy to set up a website for you. And I said, thank you, but before he came into my life, or no, it may have been right before he called me, but I knew somebody, a pastor's wife at a church, and she said, listen, we have a website guy. He does our website for us. He would be happy to help you with your website. Okay, let me have his name. So I called him. Now, we were going to meet. We had an appointment to meet. This was the same day I called the lady for editing. So I called the man several days earlier. We made an appointment to meet. And I got there. I didn't know what the guy looked like. I'm like, okay, Lord, help me out here. I don't know if he knows what I look like, but I don't know what he looks like. So everyone who walked into the restaurant, I'm like, is that him? Is that him? They'd go off somewhere else. No, that's not him. They'd meet their people. And then this guy came in, and I thought he was coming closer and closer. And I thought, Lord, surely this is not the guy. And don't get me wrong. I wasn't judging the man. It was an observation. But I was a little surprised. Because he kind of looked homeless. You know, his briefcase was really raggedy. And I'm not... This is not an outward thing. This is where I need the grace from y'all. This is not about talking about what the man looked like, but the condition. Now, So we sat down, and he starts talking about the website. I said, you know what? I really need to ask you something before we get too far into this. What do you charge to do your website work? And he says, well, I'm not going to charge you anything. Now, ordinary Carla would have said, really? But you know what came out of my mouth for the second time in the same day? Why would you do that? I said, didn't you go to college to learn how to do all this computer stuff? He said, yeah. I said, didn't you go to college so that you could get a good job, you know, that makes pretty good money? He said, yeah. I said, do you have a good job that makes pretty good money? He said, well, I have a job, but I have two jobs on the side. Now, this man was working every waking hour of every day of his life. And I'm like, Lord, there's something wrong with this picture. What is this? He said, well, you are going to make all of your stuff available, aren't you, for free? Here we go again. I said, well, no, I'm not. Because if I, and he was going to, you know, he wanted to put CDs, DVDs, books, you know, everything, and I would be giving these things away. I said, but see, don't you realize that I would have to buy all of these CDs, pay to have them reproduced, packaged, labeled, all that stuff, and then ship them out. And then when they're all gone, they're all gone. See, the idea is you have a charge so that you can replace what you sell. Okay, so I just thought to myself, okay, let's just get on with the website. I will send the man a check, you know, when it's all over, because I appreciate what he's going to do. The Bible says the workman is worthy of his feet. The workman. It's a mindset. And my husband will probably be mad at me for quoting, but he told me one time, you know who my least favorite customer? Well, he has a little optical shop in Jasper. The one who walks in saying, praise Jesus, because they're gonna want the glasses for half price. Or free. If they can get it for free. And all of these things, like a puzzle, begin to fit together for me, and I'm like, you know, and when I left the website guy, I got in my car and I was in the parking lot waiting to turn. Now, I was driving a 10-year-old car that I took very good care of because I didn't know when a new one was going to come along. But I took, you know what? Let me just tell you this. God wants us to be good stewards of what we have. If you be faithful with your little, he will make you rulers over much. This is not a message how to get rich quick, you know, how to live in your mansion today, how to drive your Mercedes Benz. That's not what this is about. I'm talking about a principle, a promise of God. And I'm going to read some of those in a minute. But the man pulled up behind me. And I didn't even know it was the man. All I could see in my rearview mirror was the car. And there was something on top of this car. I thought, what in the world? What in the world is that? Well, evidently, his headlights didn't work. I'm not judging this guy because I just got not rid of a car, but I had a car that I had to get out and slam the doors to get the air conditioner to come on. I drove that car for 4 years because it ran good, and I could at least get the air conditioner to come on, but I'm sure everybody in our area thought, that is one mad woman. I would stop at a stop sign and get out. I would slam my door, and that wouldn't work. I'd have to put it in parking, get out and go around and slam both the doors. I just know they were like, she is one angry woman. I could not. Sometimes I had to raise the hood. I would try anything to get that air conditioner to come on. And where I live, you've got to have air conditioning. And so, but I drove that car for 4 years. There's nothing wrong with driving an older mom car. That's not what I'm saying here. But his car, it was him. There were these lights that look, you know, he bought them at Hilo or somewhere like that, and they were screwed in to his hood. And I was like, oh my goodness, Lord, you know, and of course there's Jesus stickers all honk if you love Jesus, and I'm thinking, Lord, that's got to be bad advertisement for you. That's like if my children were walking around with no shoes or barefooted or the soles are hanging off and holes and everything and saying, I'm liking Carla Butoff's kid. I mean, I just got to tell y'all, that's the way my brain works. I'm sorry. I asked out a lot of questions because I want to know. There is a poverty mentality, in the church that should not be there. You know, I held God at arm's length forever until I just couldn't do it anymore because I wanted all of him. Because the preachers who would say, give your life to God. You don't know. He may want you to be a missionary in Africa. I'm going, no! I'm not going to Africa. There's snakes and stuff. And there's no air conditioning. Sleep on the ground with bugs and stuff. No, that's not what I want to do. But finally I said, okay, Lord, wherever you want to send me. So he sent me to Roganville, Texas, which is in the East Pinewood Hills of East Texas. And it is worse than Africa. I had to repent. Lord, forgive me. I should have gone to Africa. That is a whole different world out there. I'm telling you, it's like a planet all of its own. Love the people. But we would talk about God, and I'm thinking, what God are they serving? It was a God with a hammer. He's just waiting for you to mess up so he can just whack you. They lived a life of whacking. They were all dirt poor. They all lived on, and I'm not knocking state assistance. I've got a daughter. You know, I'm thankful that is there for those who need it. Many times Christians, I would love to come to one of your meetings, but I can't afford it. I can't afford it. I'm not knocking, not having any money. Mike and I didn't have two nickels to rub together for years. I'm going to tell you, we have some little sayings in our life that we need to get rid of. I used to watch the struggle and say, poor Mike. Someone told me one day, you need to stop saying that because you are locking him into being poor. I quit saying that. And he knows. I said, this is my husband. He's the richest man in Jasper County. There are some principles in the Word of God that we need to get. It says in Joel, I'm going to pour out my spirit, and my sons and my daughters shall prophesy. Yes. You know what prophesying is? There's two different kinds. There's prophesying that the prophet does, and then there's prophesying that the sons and daughters will do. And that means speaking like Ezekiel. If you were here at 3 o'clock, Jerry read some scriptures out of Ezekiel 37. God was teaching Ezekiel how to prophesy. Speak to those dead bones. Tell them, do this and do that. And he said, and I did as I was told to. And lo and behold, sinew, marrow, bone, flesh. And at the end, there was a mighty army. We need to learn how to prophesy. I prophesy over my children every day. I thank you, Lord, that every one of them received you as their Savior. They were baptized into you, and they will serve you all the days of their lives. And when they are walking your path, they will be a force to be reckoned with. That's how I pray for my children. I prophesy over them. I'm calling for breakthrough. So I didn't have the website. I still really had no idea what I wanted on the website, anything. But when the time came and I made a man said, you really got to have a website, the guy called me and said, I'll be happy to do it for you. And he has. It's very basic. I don't need a great big fancy website. I just need them to know how to get in touch with me or how to get what I offer. That's all it is. Someone said, you need to update your website. I said, maybe. I don't want to fool with it. You ought to post your stuff on Facebook. I'm not even on Facebook. I'm sorry. To me, that is like 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, junior high school. People get on there and slander and gossip and cut people down. I don't want any part of it. I know good stuff can be done. And one girl from a church that I used to go minister at, she said, would you just let me set up a Facebook for you? I said, as long as I don't have to have anything to do with it, and it doesn't, it doesn't become something where everybody can put their stuff out there, because people, that's what it's all about, is having someone else look at their junk. Right. See where I went on vacation? I really don't care. I don't have time to look at pictures. And then you don't only get theirs, you get all of their friends' pictures. I know that because my 92-year-old mother is on Facebook. Oh, Pumpkin, did you see this? No, Mama, that's why I'm not on Facebook. What? She wants to show me. And I'm like, oh, God. Prosperity is God's principle. It's God's principle. You know, every disciple, Jesus had them leave their jobs to follow him. Come and follow me. Can you imagine what, I can't remember the two guys, they were on the boat with their daddy because they were fishermen. They had a family business. And Jesus said, come follow me. And two of them got off the boat and left. Can you see the daddy struggling with the net? Hey, where do you think you're going? I mean, really, think about these things. The tax collector. All of these guys had to leave their jobs to serve Jesus. He took care of them. He provided. In Luke, this is what Jesus showed me shortly after I got back from the website guy. Luke 16. This is the story of the unjust steward. I'll give you a run-up to where I'm going. There was a man who was evidently either accused or had misused his employer's money. And he got fired. Whether it was true or not, we really don't know. But this is what the man said in verse 3. And the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. And to beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved. I know what I'm going to do. So this is what he does. He goes to all the people that owe his boss money. Now, the boss has none of the money. But he goes to everyone who owes money. How much do you owe? I owe 80. Sit down and write me 40. How much do you owe? I owe 100. Sit down and write me 50. That man collected a good portion of what was owed to his boss and brought it to him. Now, it doesn't tell us whether the guy got his job back or not, but I just bet you the man got his job back. Maybe he was in the wrong position. You need to be a debt collector. You know? I don't know. But this is what Jesus said about him in verse 8. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Okay? For the sons, and then Jesus said this, and I know he was sad while he said this. For the sons of this age are in their generation wiser than the sons of light. You know what he was saying? Those people in the world are wiser than my own people. And why should that be? The word says, for ye have the mind of Christ. You know what? If you're afraid of Alzheimer's, can I tell you, if you belong to Jesus, that shouldn't even be in your thought process. Jesus does not have Alzheimer's. He doesn't. If you belong to Him and He is in you, No. Same thing for cancer. Same thing for anything that is coming against your body. Let me tell you, Satan comes to your door. Hey, I got a little heart trouble. I want to give it to you today. Oh my gosh, I better make an appointment with the heart doctor. No. We should tell Satan. Look, what does it say in the Old Testament? It says, whose report will you believe? Whose report? Whose report? I told my brother, who was driving a brand new Ford truck, he says, pray for me. I got to go have a colonoscopy next Tuesday. I said, are you having trouble? No. No, they just say when you turn 50, you're supposed to go get your colonoscopy. I said, Jerry, you're driving a brand new Ford truck, right? Yeah. Well, if something goes wrong with that truck, you're going to take it to the Volkswagen people. He said, no, I take it to the Ford people. I said, what I'm trying to get you to understand is God made your body. God. Those doctors didn't make your body. They don't really know half the time what's going on in your body. They're going to hunt and peck and stick and poke and torture until they find something. And it might even be pre-something. How many women have you ever known that were pre-pregnant? You either pregnant or you're not. I'm telling you, the devil is a deceiver, a liar, but he has us by the tail. Most of us, a lot of us. And I'm not knocking you. I was there one time. I was in the doc. I was a hypochondriac. Remember, I was depressed and as much as I wanted to die, I was scared something was going to kill me. I mean, it's crazy, y'all. We really need to start, honing in on what God has said to us. Yes, the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. It's time for us to get wise. The church, the world can set up a business. Let's just say essential oils. They'll set up a business. And then they'll sell it to you for a costly price. I used to sell Mary Kay Cosmetics just to get out of the house in the evenings to see some adults. You know? I was jealous of my husband. He would get to go to work, and he worked with adults. I had a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a newborn. All I had was snotty noses and dirty diapers and spills and temper tantrums and whining and crying and, I needed to get out of the house. I sold Mary Kay Cosmetics and they were not cheap. And one reason I sold them is because I could get mine 50% off. Here's something that we need to think about. We're talking about the unjust steward. Are you a good steward with your money? I never had any money to be a good steward with, but when I started getting some, I knew, be faithful with your little. It'll make you real over much. So I started being a good steward with my little. Do you respect your money? You know, I see people put their hand in their pocket, pull it out, wadded up dollars, and stuff falls all over the floor. I'm thinking, wow, that's how much they think of their money. It's just crammed in a pocket like a gum wrapper. I'm shocked when I go to the bank. I used to work at a savings and loan. There's a lot of stories there too, but I won't tell those tonight. I don't understand money. But anyway, we did have to have our ones in this little square and our fives in this little square and our tens and our twenties. Hundreds went under. But they all had to be facing a certain way. And you go to the bank today and you get your change and it's backwards, upside down. It's all mixed together. I'm like, what in the world? This is crazy. It's like nobody teaches them You know, do you respect your money? Is it laying in the floorboard? I've even seen people have, you know, dollars laying in their floorboard, change everywhere, scattered about. You know, when Hagar was run out of the camp, when Sarah said, I want her out and the kid, God told Abraham was upset. That was his son. He loved that child. We're talking about Ishmael. Abraham went to God and God said, do what your wife said. Mm-hmm. So he took them, gave them some food and water, and sent them on their way. Well, they ran out of food and water. And she's under a bush, and she puts the kid under the bush because she didn't want to watch him die. But the word says, you can go read it for yourself, God heard the cries of the lad. Now, I don't know how old he was, but the word called him a lad. That's young. They were going to die. They were in the wilderness, and there was nothing to eat and nothing to drink. Then it said God opened her eyes. See, when it says the kingdom of God is among you, the kingdom of God is within you, the kingdom of God is at hand, this pulpit is at hand. It's at hand. It's right here. I can touch it. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus came. He walked in the kingdom right here on this earth. He didn't take it with him when he left. He demonstrated the kingdom to the disciples. He stood up in that boat. He was asleep in the boat. And there was a raging storm and water was filling up the boat. And the disciples go, Lord, Lord, don't you care? We're fixing to die. And he stood up and he said, oh, ye of little faith, peace be still. And the winds and the waves obeyed him. See, he's taught us a lot of stuff. We haven't picked up on it. The disciples said, wow, what manner of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. It's the same one we have inside of us. He opened Hagar's eyes and she saw a well of water. It wasn't there before. She would have seen it. He opened her spiritual eyes to see into the kingdom. Gave me a whole new understanding of, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. He's our provider. Hagar didn't just get a drink of water. She got a well. You know how much water is in a well? Endless. You know how much water? They drilled a well here. Do y'all still have access to that water? It comes up out of the ground so forceful. They had to get a 4x4 beam, had to build some beams across here and put it on the lid because it kept blowing the lid off. Moses got water out of a rock because God told him to speak to the rock. We need to know these principles because there may be coming a time that we need it. When he fed the 5,000, it was more than 5,000. They didn't even count the women and kids. It was more than 5,000. And all he had was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they took up how many baskets left over?
12.
He didn't just break even. He is a God of abundance. A God of abundance. Then he had the other situation with some more loaves and fishes. And how many baskets did they take up left over? 7. 7 baskets left over. He's a God of abundance. When Jesus needed tax money, he sent them fishing to take the money out of the fire. I think the bigger miracle is it's not the money in the fish's mouth. It's that they went and fished. You know, someone said, you need a new car? Go down to the river and fish. And whatever fish comes up, you just get the money that's going to pay for your car. I would have thought, right. You know, but they went and fished and they got the money out of the fish's mouth. By the way, me being a questioner, I wonder what kind of fish that was, Lord. Later on, cleaning house, he said, it was a holy mackerel. God has a sense of humor. He's got a sense of humor. Speak for yourself. No, but really and truly, Jesus didn't say, okay, guys, y'all go stand on the corner with a coffee can. And we're gonna collect money, you know, needed for taxes or, you know, whatever sign. He didn't have a cake sale. He didn't have a raffle.
Bingo.
Whatever. Whatever all these churches do to raise their money. I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying. He might run into some of these places and turn over the tables. He didn't like it when they did it in his father's house. Why would he like it now? We have taken up the world's traditions, which makes the word of God of no effect. He uses the word, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Never once did he say, just have one. He didn't give us one apple seed that gave us one apple. He gave us an apple seed. He gave us a tree with hundreds of apples, with hundreds of seeds. Jerry uses this one. First the blade, then the ear, then many kernels. Multiplication. Everything about God in the kingdom is multiplication. He's not trying to shrink his church.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.